So Dan, I hear you're going to a baseball game in a few weeks.
I am. I'm really excited because it's been 2 years since I went to a baseball game. I love going to the Giants Stadium. But I also lived in New York for a while and lived very close to the stadium out there. So I became a Mets fan. And so now in a couple of weeks here, they're playing each other. So I'm going to go.
So who are you rooting for?
Last time I went to a Giants Mets game, I wore it was a Mets t-shirt with a Giants jacket. And that didn't go over too well. People didn't like that. So I think this time I'm going to have to pick one. Haven't made a call on that one yet. I'll let you know.
Okay. Well, you know, I heard something in the past that they would separate people who were vaccinated, unvaccinated. Are they still doing that?
Yeah, they used to do that. There was a vaccinated section. I heard they got rid of that. When I was buying the tickets, they're all together. So I think everyone's going to be mixed together. There's bars and restaurants that are starting to require vaccination cards. I think the stadium was talking about doing that, but the way it is now, I guess not.
Interesting. Well, you know, there's a lot of privacy laws being passed and people are really sensitive about capturing themselves on video. But thankfully, there's a way around this. So with new technology that you might not even know, it's in your Apple Watch, it's on your iPhones, it's on vehicles now slowly. It's used to map out terrain and many other applications. And luckily, here today is a very accomplished CEO of one of the world's leading LiDAR companies, Shauna McIntyre from Sense Photonics, focusing on automotive LiDAR, but I think she could easily integrate any of these into different verticals as well. How are you today, Shauna?
I'm doing great. Great. Doing great. Thanks for inviting me on.
No problem. Very happy to have you here.
Right.
Let's get started and try to understand, how did you get to where you are today?
Yeah, good question. Thanks. I guess, you know, in a nutshell, I've always been a car nut. I got bit by the automotive bug when I was very little and always just loved driving. It was my sense of personal empowerment and got a driver's license on the day I turned 16. And then the rest is history. And started my career at a Ford plant. I'm from California, but really wanted to do the automotive thing. I was overseas and then went and led engineering for a major tier one and transformed that business. And then I cut my teeth in startup land and really enjoyed that during the clean tech, first wave of clean tech. But then, you know, reality set in and the clean tech, it was a long road to commercialization. So hopped back into big company and joined Google, doing a lot of embedded software work. When I got approached to be the CEO of a LiDAR company. And, you know, the first thing that crossed my mind is, oh man, there are a lot of LiDAR companies out there, right? Right. And I went to CES and did my tour of lots of booths and lots of different technologies. And the thing that really compelled me to Sense Photonics is that it's solid state, that nothing moves. And having seen automotive up front and personal and frontline to some pretty nasty reliability problems in my past, I knew that any sort of LiDAR, 3D vision that is such a safety critical item has to be solid state because it's the only way you're going to get the reliability and the cost targets for automotive. So it was really compelling. And then the pandemic hit and I decided, you know what, I'm not going to let a pandemic get between me and a really great opportunity. So yeah, I jumped on board in April of 2020 and it's been a really fun ride.
I think you can speak a lot to what does reliability mean? I mean, to the general population, they might understand what reliability means when they drive their vehicle.
It means a million miles, no problems on your car. A million miles or 15 years, whatever, you know, however long your vehicle is in operation. And, you know, versus some products that might, you know, have wear and tear or have things go wrong, you know, you might get your engine light on, right? That says, hey, you got to go maintain your vehicle or fix something. Happens to us all the time. You can't do that with LiDAR unless you want to be driving a car that can't really see the road. And that's not good enough. So reliability means, yeah, nothing goes wrong. And the thing with automotive that's, I think, one of the things I love about it is that there is an infinite number of duty cycles that every time you take a car out on the road, it's a little different, right? You might have a pothole, you might have a different temperature, you might have, you know, maintenance on the road or something that really changes things. So you can never plan for you know, to understand every single possible kind of duty cycle or use case. So it makes it challenging. And that's, again, comes down to the simplicity of the architecture being so important.
So you're building a product that could easily be used in California and Michigan. based on.
I can. Yes, we can. How about Munich too? Yeah. And Stuttgart and all, and Shanghai and lots of places in the world. Yes. Yes. You could.
Okay.
Yeah. And the cool thing is, and I'm not going to get too techie on you guys, but the cool thing is about what we do too, is in rain and snow, a lot of the problems have been in the past that, okay, how does the LiDAR see if it's snow or if it's real, how does it see in the snow? And it comes down to how many returns you get when you shoot your photons out into the environment and then come back. We have quite a few returns, up to four, potentially even more returns. So we can triangulate and confirm that in fact, okay, that's snow, but those are objects out there. So that's another very compelling piece about what we do.
Yeah, great point about the reliability. I have a question about this explosion that we've seen with LiDAR companies. You mentioned that there's so many out there if you go to CES. And, you know, if I look back about maybe 5 years ago, even LiDAR was around, but it wasn't really as present as it is now. And depending on which market report you read, the LiDAR market is supposed to increase to something like 3 billion over the next 5 years. And so there's really this huge growth and so much excitement over the technology. I was just wondering why has there been such a huge interest in this particular technology?
Yeah, well, I mean, it started with, LiDAR has been around for a while in some industrial applications and then some very niche automotive applications, but not in high volume. And it started, I think it really hit the map or got really mainstream when autonomous vehicles became a real potential thing for us to pursue. And so a lot of money was going after autonomous vehicles, but those sensors, those LiDAR were very, very expensive, like prohibitively expensive. And so, you know, a lot of venture money started going into LiDAR. And the thing is, it's such an early stage technology that there are so many different approaches that are possible. So, you know, we have however many companies, probably 80 companies in the industry right now, and probably about 80 different types of approaches. So, you know, a lot of venture money was put into it. And that's really what's propelled it up. So yes, there is a market. We're seeing that, in fact, even though the autonomous vehicle dream has really kind of catalyzed this market, what we're seeing is it's really the ADAS industry, the advanced driver assistance systems, that is where the need is, the more immediate need is. And so, you know, as you think about enabling partial autonomy, going from L2 to L3, you know, more of the kind of, you know, highway driving and better than just adaptive cruise control, but not full autonomy yet, just enabling the driver. More and more, the OEMs are seeing that they need LiDAR because unfortunately, they can't just depend on cameras because the LiDAR has the three dimension already inherent to it, as well as then it's robust against ambient light. So it can work in the day, the night, whenever it is, because it really doesn't depend on that that wavelength, the ambient light wavelength. So yeah, so it's growing. It's a growing market, and I think we're still in the early innings. Back to the baseball analogy. had to hit that.
That was good. How important is LiDAR for the trucking market?
Similar to automotive, right? Trucking is what I appreciated when I was in the tier one space with Garrett or Honeywell Turbo, served the trucking market. And what I really appreciated about that industry is it's completely pragmatic. If a trucking company can save a buck and it costs 50 cents, they're gonna go after it. And so I think they're seeing LiDAR from, you know, again, advanced driver assistance, enabling the driver to have just a you know, better experience, but it also helps ease some of the, you know, some of the other kind of systems on the vehicle, right? So if you can have better adaptive cruise control or lane departure systems, you're not probably, you know, punching the brakes as much or you know, really oversteering different parts of the vehicle that can enable. But ultimately, autonomous for them, they can streamline their whole supply chain and their you know, system in terms of drivers, right? It's an expense for them. And so, and it's also driver shortage is a major thing holding back the trucking industry. So if they can untap that bottleneck, then that's a big deal. So again, it goes back to the economics of it. And I think they're seeing it. But trucking is one where we talk about reliability. You know, in the past, at least in powertrain, you had to validate a product over two summers and two winters of full duty cycle testing. And so they, you know, reliability is number one in that industry because you can't let trucks, you know, just go idle on the side of the road. You got to always have the systems up and running.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So there's a lot of LiDAR companies SPACing out there. And I think it makes a lot of sense because you think of the LiDAR investment, initial investment cost, the CapEx is huge. Mm-hmm. Whereas you go with the traditional IPO, you're kind of making sure you have some revenue and then you're going in that route. So I think it makes a lot of sense. But then the ecosystem that we have here, you have 1550s that are not FMCW, the time of flight. Then you have some FMCW LiDARs. For those of you who aren't familiar, it's just a different type of LiDAR in general and how they send the beam out. And also we have flash-based LiDAR, we have VCSEL-based, we have edge emitters. What makes your LiDAR different than everything else out there?
Sure. So we are a VCSEL plus SPAD on the detector base basic architecture, and we are flash. So you put the VCSELs on the emitter and you do the SPAD on the detector and you flash, that's what makes us very unique. So no moving parts, no fine alignment necessary. You don't have to line up your photons where your photons are going to hit and the detector and who, you know, the pixel that's going to detect it. You also have a lot of flexibility in terms of the product itself. So you can have, we can architect it for very wide fields of view or medium fields of view. So we can architect it in different ways. But the key thing there is that we don't have the inherent trade-off that scanning has. And so with flash, you illuminate the whole field of view at once and you detect the whole field of view at once. You architect in the field of view resolution, and range. From the get-go, you don't have to have the trade-off of if you want to sweep over a very large field of view that you have to do it quickly, and therefore you compromise on the range or on the on the resolution. You get it every time with us. The other thing that we announced about a month ago is our multi-range ability, where you have wide field of view but short range, and then narrower field of view but longer range. All in one sensor. It's just optics that can design that in. So we have that. And then lastly, we're inherently scalable because we are leveraging products that are in high volume today that are in smartphones. So it's ours. Our approach is inherent. We have an inherent design to it, but it's really the base architecture of VCSELs and the base architecture of SPAD. And we're using today's suppliers as well for the most part. So it's inherently scalable in that they're already manufacturing this for, you know, an order of magnitude or more for the consumer device market. And then when it's time for us to get the volume in the automotive market, we already have that embedded supply base and the manufacturing know-how. So there are a lot of inherent advantages, but really what that means is price performance leadership. So we have the performance. We are the only LiDAR, flash LiDAR company to be able to hit 200 meters with, you know, industry leading points per second. So we call it, you know, point density or data density. And ultimately that's the currency that the vehicle needs to know where it is in the world. That's the performance side, but then the price side, because it is no moving parts, it's a simple architecture. The bulk of it is really in the VCSELs and the SPADs. There's not a lot of complexity after that. So the cost is minimal. And so the price performance, if you pair these two together, really nobody comes close.
I just want to ask a quick question. You know, let's talk about it in consumer senses for a second. If I'm an average person buying a car in the Midwest, what can LiDAR do for me? Does it help with my parking? Does it help with my lane keep assist? What do I use it for?
Yeah, good question. So yeah, we're seeing a lot. So for short range, it's parking assist. There's also vehicle summoning that people are, you know, OEMs are looking at. And then on the long range, it really is that vehicle, the lane departure system. It's also understanding hazards further afield. We also have it designed with, especially with a short range and wide field of view, to detect quick cut-ins. So, you know, if you're in a car and you're anchored on the car in front of you, this just happened to me on the road the other day. And a car almost cuts you off. Your car's like, whoa, Jesus, you know. So this LiDAR will help see it. And enable the car to really react in a better way. The other thing is some vehicles have really strange overhangs too. And so, you know, camera system or radar system may not always see that. And so the overhang, the LiDAR will be able to have a better image of it. So yeah, so long range, long range needs in terms of kind of highway driving, but then quite a few short range needs in terms of the parking assist and different vehicle summoning. And really more and more, the OEMs are wanting to cocoon the vehicle and make the vehicle a safer place. And so LiDAR, you know, provides that data density to understand what's in and around the vehicle.
Yeah, it sounds like you're taking a really neat approach. You know, when you were explaining the simplicity of the system, a lot of other LiDARs use this complex system of mirrors to scan this beam around, kind of like that Terminator that's scanning around. Kind of more like a camera, right?
It's a camera.
It's taking a picture of the scene.
You got it. It's global shutter.
Yeah. Very cool.
And with that, the other thing that's really cool about that is you can then at the pixel level integrate the RGB or the camera data. So you actually have one data stream back to the vehicle integrated at the pixel. So you don't have to take your LiDAR data and then in one kind of data set and then your camera data in another and then integrate them at the vehicle level. This can be integrated at the pixel, which is pretty cool.
Oh, very cool. So they're a lot more compatible on a pixel.
Yeah, kind of sensor fusion at the edge kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like this would have a lot of applications outside of automotive too. Are there any other uses for it?
Yeah. So we actually were in some industrial markets last year, actually 2020, I should say, kind of up until, you know, kind of Q3 2020. And we certainly, there are a lot of needs in industrial. And in fact, it's a large market today for LiDAR. And so I think there's some really good opportunities to automate truck yards, to improve warehouse efficiency. You know, all of this goes in the direction of goodness in terms of sustainability, where, you know, just make your warehouses, truck yards, much more efficient and streamlined. There's a lot more too when it comes to retail using more last mile delivery. You know, yes, there are the little bots that you can do that last mile delivery, but I think more and more distribution is going to kind of the edge. And so, you know, robotics is needed because the SKU complexity gets to be pretty high at that edge. And so we were doing a lot of bin picking and being able to identify, you know, objects, because what's cool about LiDAR is, you know, with object detection, you can see, okay, that's a mixed palette. You can identify what are the different things and then separate it out just based on robotics. So yeah, there are a ton of cool applications, I would say, with industrial that are here and now. You know, for us, we decided to focus in on the ADAS segment, ADAS and AV for automotive, really because there's such a good fit with our technology. But I'm looking forward to being able to expand it beyond this as well.
Really cool. What about space? Any extra applications?
Space. Well, that's, you know, that's out there. Let's call that our Horizon 3, but yes.
Yeah.
So no, there's a lot of aerial drone usage, forestation. That's really where they've used LiDAR in the past. So yeah, I would say a lot of that today is kind of specialty LiDAR, but it's pretty cool stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I heard the first application of LiDAR was to measure the distance to the moon.
I didn't know that.
Apollo missions. They put a mirror up there and measured how long it takes light to get up to the moon and come back. So that's right. The next market for a LiDAR.
There you go. Another market. The other is subterranean. So we're subsea. So I think there've been a lot of discoveries made with LiDAR underwater. So, you know, yeah, maybe we'll go deep or we'll go high. I don't know. We'll see which way, which level of altitude we go next. But
makes sense. Wow. So how do you're talking about a lot of industries. You have a very small team. How do you scale your resources and kind of adjust it correctly to make sure you can get in those fields with, I guess, the minimum amount of effort, but the maximum impact?
Yeah, good question. And that's actually what I faced late last year was just, okay, we're trying to go after a lot of markets with a really cool technology platform, but we have to be the best in the world at one of them to get that beachhead. And so that's where we said we do have a fixed set of resources. And so that's when we focused in on automotive. And we have opportunities. We've had other opportunities to do other segments, but for now, we just really do need to focus. And what's cool about what I've seen being, you know, a leader of this space is to see, you know, okay, a team that's been spread thin versus a team that's really focused. And it's amazing how efficient you get when you focus. So that's really benefited us. But yes, eventually, we'll, you know, as we scale and as we're able to expand our resource base, then I look forward to going after more of these markets.
Great. So yeah, that's all the questions we have today. I think it was a very interesting podcast. We're really happy you could join us. But before you leave, considering your very impressive and accomplished resume, and we give this podcast out not only to people in the industry, but also new grads that are looking to come into the industry, can you share some insights to new grads or professionals that would like to enter this industry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. No, I mean, I guess my advice is, you know, follow your dreams, follow your heart, right? Like I was in a Ford plant in the Midwest on night shift, Minnesota, 30 degrees below zero, I'm a girl from California, and all my friends are doing .com, like making it rich with, you know, this is before the bubble burst, right? And they're like, what the heck are you doing out there? You know? And I come home to San Francisco and they're all, you know, doing their thing. And I felt like, what is wrong with me? Right. But I just loved what I did. I was so fascinated by it. And now I'm so glad I did, because I've been doing what I love doing for 25 years, and I've been able to see different parts of this market evolve. And so, you know, I'm glad that I stayed true to what I love doing. And so I absolutely would, you know, say the same thing and give that kind of advice to everybody else is, yeah, stick to your passion, stick to your guns, you know, because we spend a lot of time at work. So you better enjoy what you're doing. And then I guess the next thing is just find, you know, those people, those mentors, like, you know, seek them out, because I think that has really helped me along the way when things get tough. And you know, it's, there are definitely bumps in the road, lots of bumps in the road. It takes those people that you have a trusted relationship with to help you see the bigger picture and help you through some things. So yeah. And I think, you know, in this fast paced world that we live in now with Zoom, it's kind of hard to build mentorship. So I think a lot of times being that proactive person to reach out, it takes that first effort. But people do love, from now the person who mentors others, you always do like it when people reach out to you for advice. It's kind of a nice thing. So, you know, as the person looking for a mentor, don't hold back. I would say go reach out for those people you really are inspired by or really like and think you could hit it off with and learn from. Just reach out to them.
Any finishing thoughts, Dan?
Well, I'd like to ask Shauna, what do you do when you're not working? What are your hobbies?
So I've got two kids. I got an 11-year-old girl, two girls, 11 and 13. And so that keeps me busy. And a husband who's also a startup guy. So yeah, it's a total crazy town in our house, but it's all good. No. And in the winter, you'll see me up on the slopes. I'm just a maniacal skier. And so I'm always the first person to volunteer for snow testing. I'm like, we got to test this LiDAR in the snow. So
well, you do like the cold.
Yeah. So
great. Great.
Cool.
And where's the, we usually like to tell, not only do we talk about LiDAR or the company we're talking about, we'd like to take something that you like and you're really an expert at, like skiing, and let the listeners know that, oh, this Shauna thinks this is the best slope to go to, or what's the best place to ski.
Oh, that's so hard. All right. So it's going to be Alta in Utah.
Alta in Utah.
High Rustler. And I even cartwheeled down it the last time I went, but I can't wait to come back. I shattered my shoulder and then I kept skiing and went back up and did another run. I just love it so much. So yeah. High Rustler, Alta in Utah, the best.
High Rustler, Alta. Okay.
All right. Well, I haven't been there.
It's awesome. Yeah. And it's still like the best bargain in town too. It's like not expensive either. So
great.
Great.
Okay. Cool. Thank you very much.
All right.
This has been wonderful. I learned so much.
I did too. Yeah.
Good. Well, I enjoyed meeting you guys. We started with baseball and ended with skiing. So
you got to have those pastimes.
Exactly. Well, go enjoy the game. That'll be fun. I'm going to say go Giants.
Yeah.
Right. Go Giants or Mets. We'll see when I get there.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. And tune in next time where we'll host Tom Jellicoe, who's the head of autonomous technology at TTP.